This is the Paranormal Podcast with Jim Harold.
Well, welcome to the Paranormal Podcast. I'm Jim Harold. I hope you're having a great August so far. And we're going to talk today to one of our favorite people, and I mean that. I'm talking about Annie Wilder. We're going to talk about her book, Trucker Ghost Stories, and other true tales of haunted highways, weird encounters, and legends of the road. But first, we'll tell you a little bit about Annie. Annie has written a couple of very successful paranormal books, The House of Spirits and Whispers and Spirits Out of Time. And she talked about her experience of living in a haunted house and working with paranormal investigators. Now, she's been on TV and radio. She's appeared on the Biography Channel's My Ghost Story and has been a featured guest at paranormal conferences around the country. She also hosts haunted tea parties and tours. Now, a couple of things personally about Annie. She was one of our very first guests. You know, we recently celebrated our 7-year anniversary on the Paranormal Podcast, and she is absolutely one of my favorite people personally and professionally, one of our very early guests. I remember, I think there were some spooky sounds on that one Annie, we weren't sure if it were fireworks from your neighbor or something, but it was kind of spooky.
That's right.
And then I secondly want to say this. Many of you know that I have my book, Jim Harold's Campfire, available at Amazon.com, by the way. But anyway, I wanted to say there was one person who inspired me to write and served as kind of my kitchen cabinet in doing a lot of this. And I just want to thank her personally. Annie Wilder, I would have never have become an author if you didn't provide the inspiration and the encouragement. And I just want to thank you publicly for that.
Jim, well, you are also one of my favorite people. And I think it's so cool that we sort of started out at the same time and we have these somewhat parallel paths, and I knew that you had just a treasury of great ghost stories, and it would make a perfect book, and so I'm really happy that you got a book out, and I look forward to reading more books of yours in the future.
Well, stay tuned on that, but today we're not here to talk about that. We're talking about another, a fabulous compendium of ghost stories. That's your new book, Trucker Ghost Stories and Other True Tales of Haunted Highways, Weird Encounters, and Legends of the Road. And this is a big deal release. This is out on Tor, which is a huge publisher, so congratulations with that. What inspired you to write a book on trucker ghost stories specifically?
Well, it was while I was writing my second book, family ghost story book, Spirits Out of Time, I was thinking about what I wanted to do for my next book. And Spirits Out of Time came about in an interesting way. I had started out writing a follow-up book about my house, because people who read the first book, House of Spirits and Whispers, were asking, you know, they wanted to see pictures, they wanted to hear more history of the house. And I'd had a lot of psychics come through, and I had good material to put in a second book. So I started writing a second book about my house, and it got blocked. It got blocked by either the spirits or the house itself. I have this theory, after living here for 18 years, that the house itself has a spirit. And so I switched instead and wrote family ghost stories. And while I was working on that, I considered going back to the house story, and it just didn't seem like the time was right. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, well, I love ghost stories. And there, at the time, I was really hooked on some of the shows on TV, like Deadliest Catch, which I still love. We just don't have that cable station right now. I can't remember if Ice Road Truckers was out or not. I think it was. But I just got this idea for a mashup of, you know, the sort of uber masculine professions and ghost stories. And I actually, when I was a teenager, the summers that I was 13, 14, and 15, I worked out at the sand plant in Minnesota, Woodbury, Minnesota, that my dad managed. And I answered the phone and typed invoices for the truckers. And there was a trucker who told me a ghost story. He told me lots of cool stories. He was a very colorful guy. And you know, I thought, oh, you know, I bet the truckers, I remember Bill Sykes was the trucker's name, and I was like, Bill had such a great ghost story. I bet truckers have really good ghost stories in the same way that, like, all these, because truckers are out on the roads at night and out on weird roads and lonely roads, and they're in their vehicle all the time. And, you know, how these days you see so many anomalies on the deer cams that people have in their backyard. It's like, okay, if you're out there and you're a witness to this stuff, you're going to see stuff. And the truckers are kind of like the witnesses to the nighttime highway. So I thought it was a great idea. I was really excited about it. I had that feeling of an idea that, you know, had legs, was going to take off. And so I started by deciding to try to get a hold of Bill Sykes and see if he wanted to, you know, if I could get the story from him again, and if he wanted to, you know, if he had any other stories or maybe write an intro to the book. Well, I am really good at doing research online, finding people, tracking things down, stuff like that. And I searched for about a week and kept coming up against, you know, dead ends, lost trails, whatever. And I went to bed one night and I had a dream. And I do get interesting information that helps my life in dreams quite often. And in this dream, I was in an empty room and it was all white, and there were sparkles in the, you know, paint or on the wall. So it was a white, sparkly room. And the only thing in the room was a door. And I was facing the door and wondering what I was doing in this room. And all of a sudden, the door opened and a young man stepped in the room. He was very slim, very lean, and had dark black hair, slicked back in kind of a pompadour. And he stepped into the room. I didn't recognize him. He stepped into the room, looked at me, sort of nodded his head in acknowledgement, and then he stepped backwards through the door and closed it, you know. And I woke up, and as soon as I woke up, I realized that that was Bill Sykes. When I knew him, he was in his mid to late 40s, and he was quite a heavy smoker. So he, you know, had a deeply lined face and stuff like that. But I just thought that was Bill Sykes as a young man. I'm certain of it. And because of the symbolism of the, you know, white sparkly room and him being out of the room, I just thought, I think I'm going to learn that Bill Sykes has passed away. And that day, one of the people that I'd left a message with, you know, of many, many people trying to track him down, called me back and said that he had passed away like 4 years earlier from, I think it was emphysema.
Oh my.
So I did dedicate my book to Bill, to the memory of Bill Sykes, and I told his story to the best of my recollection in my intro to the book. So that's sort of how it got started. A trucker telling a 13-year-old kid a ghost story, you know, at a sand plant in Minnesota back in 1975.
Well, I got to tell you, those stories that you hear when you're a kid really stick with you. I know there were a couple of stories that my dad told me that kind of set me off in my journey to explore the paranormal. So those things really stick with you. Now, Annie, one thing that strikes me, to me, there are a few things that could be spookier. Down on a solitary highway, maybe in a rural area, there aren't a lot of street lights, and it's just you and the truck and the road. Who knows what you'll see out there? I mean, isn't there really something almost mystical about that setting?
I think so. And I mean, it's almost like it's ripe for something to happen. All the elements are there. You're alone. It's nighttime. Although not all of the stories happened at night. But when I was looking through my book last night, just sort of getting ready for today's interview and reacquainting myself with the stories, Because this is a little different than telling my own story. This is a collection of stories in the truckers and other drivers' own voices. And that's what I wanted. I wanted it to be the trucker vernacular. I wanted it to be individual voices, first-person accounts of these strange encounters. But one thing that I noticed when I was looking through here and thinking of it in the way of discussing it in an interview rather than in the way of editing stories for a book, there are some elements that are present in many of the stories. And remember, these are just ordinary people who maybe didn't even believe in ghosts or UFOs or Bigfoot or any of these things that they came face to face with. But in many of the stories, there is a transition. There's a portent that things are, something's happening. There's a gateway or an opening. And oftentimes, it is the weather. There's a blizzard or a heavy rainstorm, or there's fog, you know, a strange fog or clouds right on the highway. And another sign that happens in several of the stories, the driver becomes aware that there are no other vehicles on the road. You know, sometimes that's normal if you're on a deserted, you know, highway, but sometimes they're on a regular road and there are no other vehicles on the road. Another element that comes up in a few of the stories is they're near a wooded area and something comes out of the woods. So it's like, okay, this is interesting. And then I made a note for our talk today because one of the truckers who told his story, and it was a sort of moving and story because it involved his dad dying and him wanting to take care of his mom and help his mom. And, you know, these many of the storytellers are not sentimental people, but you wouldn't think necessarily. I mean, maybe
right,
they
salt,
are
of, salt of the earth.
Yeah, exactly. And he said that in his experience, he said that his dad had died of a heart attack. And they called him, and so he went to, you know, let his mom know and help her out. And he said the house, you know, quickly became filled with relatives. And after a little while, he realized he was out of cigarettes. So he went to the gas station because there were people there with his mom. And this is the first day, so a lot of sort of chaos and confusion. And he said he went to this gas station, and he said a bum approached him and asked if he could wash his windshield for $5 or something. And so he said he gave the guy $5 and said, you know, instead of that, why don't you pray for my dad? He said his dad had, he was a little concerned about where his dad's spirit might be. And he said this, and in his own words, and that's what I love about these stories, he said, you know, the guy went to praying loudly and it was so loud, it was embarrassing to me. You know, but he said he looked at the guy's face, this, you know, guy who had been asking for money, and he said he had the bluest eyes. It was, you know, almost unnatural. Okay. Blue-Eyed Messenger is the name of the story. Well, he said he thought that was so weird. There was something about these eyes that was so weird that he kept, every time he stopped at that gas station in the future, he checked around to see if this guy was around, and years later, he encountered the same guy. And guess what? His eyes weren't blue. His eyes were dark.
Ooh.
And the reason that, yes, the reason that I mentioned that, and this same trucker had another encounter, a different state with a stranger who had the same blue eyes, who just turned around at a truck stop and said something to him. And he heeded the message because that guy turned around and had these same piercing, you know, unnatural blue eyes. And it helped him and his mom over a Christmas holiday. I won't give every detail of the story, but I've had dreams in which people have had these amazing blue eyes. And I'm kind of You know, we have a lot of dark eyes in our family, so I'm a fan of dark eyes. I mean, it's all good, but I'm not necessarily like thinking of blue eyes. But in these dreams, these are either spirits or they are people with messages. Now that has been part of my life since before this story came in. So I thought that was interesting. It's like, huh. I wonder if there are other people that have had that same experience.
We've actually had someone on the campfire talk about a story where she was a small girl and got lost and separated from her family. And the woman who helped her, who she later interpreted as some type of angel, had strikingly blue eyes.
Yeah. Okay. That just made my skin go all goosebumpy because that's the word I would use. Like, angel. I mean, they're almost angelic, or there's something about them that is very powerful and good.
Well, we're certainly going to continue the discussion about trucker ghost stories with Annie Wilder right after this on the Paranormal Podcast. Oh, you missed out. If only you had been a member of my Paranormal Plus Club, you could register to be a part of tonight's interactive class on the tarot with Janet Boyer, first of four-part series. You could ask questions in real time. If you'd only been a member, you could listen to my recent podcast on Arctic UFOs for UFO Encounters, one of my exclusive Paranormal Plus Club series. Or you could have listened to my recent podcast for The Other Side, talking about communicating and talking with the dead. Oh, you missed out. But wait, what am I talking about? You can still become a member over at jimherald.net. Just navigate yourself over to jimherald.net. Check it out. Hundreds of shows, many, many shows you've not heard unless you're a member. Many, many shows that if you're not a member, you can't access. Anything 90 days or older for Paranormal Podcast or Campfire. There's forums. There's these interactive classes, which, by the way, if you miss a session, they're all there taped, so you can play them at your convenience. A great forum section, meet and greets with me, virtual meet and greets, where you can ask me questions via audio or text. It's just a really good deal, and people are seeming to really, really enjoy it, and I'm so glad. We're up to about 555 members now. I couldn't be more pleased, and I hope that we can get 1,000 before the end of the year. And I think if you join, we can do it, so I hope you'll check it out. There's a great monthly plan, or there's a yearly plan. If you say, hey, Jim, I'm committing to this, I want to do this, you can get 12 months for the price of 10. So it is a good deal. It's a good program. We hope that you enjoy it. We know we've gotten really, really good feedback from it. It's a Paranormal Plus Club. It's over at jimherald.net. Please check it out today, jimherald.net. And thanks for listening.
Can't get enough paranormal content? Sign up for monthly webinars, newsletters, and more shows. Join the Paranormal Plus Club at jimherald.net. Now back to the Paranormal Podcast.
We're back on the Paranormal Podcast. Our guest tonight is Annie Wilder. She is the author of several books, her most recent, just out, Trucker Ghost Stories, and so excited to have her with us. Annie, in this part of the show, I'd like to talk a little bit about some specific cases. Now, has a trucker ever said, you know, I saw someone who I knew was dead while I was out on my travels?
Yes, and actually, I love this story from the book. It's called Text Message. It is written by a trucker. I think I got this one on one of the trucking forums. Had a lot of fun collecting these stories. This was a trucker who was driving from Texas to Oklahoma, and he said his dad was an over-the-road driver who died in a rollover accident,
oh,
you know, years before when a load of scrap iron shifted. Okay, so he's pushing hard, he's fighting to stay awake. I'm sort of paraphrasing here, but it was just, the story just got to me. He said that he woke up multiple times to rumble strips, meaning, you know, you're sort of going on the edge of the road, and it's waking up when you get back on the road. And he said he was, you know, getting back in his lane, and looked over, and his father was sitting in the seat beside him in the truck.
Ooh.
And he said his dad told him that there was a rest area just across the Texas border. And then he told his dad, it would be full and I couldn't stop anyway because he's on, you know, there's a lot of talk on the forums about the crazy deadlines and, you know,
right.
things like that. And his dad's spirit said, well, then I'll stop you. And he said the next thing he knew, it was 4 hours later, he was awake at a rest, or, you know, he woke up parked at a rest stop just across the Texas border. He was parked perfectly. And an unknown text on his phone said, no load is worth your life. Love, Dad.
Oh, my God.
See, and I think we're going to hear more stories of this because those coming through technology because, which makes total sense, they started calling on phones, you know, whatever. I read somewhere that people were getting emails from someone who died. Did you read that story last year?
No, I didn't see that one. Yeah. But I got to tell you, that's really, and the thing was, is that he saw something in his son's path that may have potentially was going to take his life. So he just said, you know, you're going to listen to me one way or the other. And he got that across. That is amazing.
Yeah. And he had lost his life trying to get a load delivered to where it needed to be. So,
right. One thing, and I'm sure you've developed this, I can sense this in your voice, and we have fans, we have truckers who listen to these shows, and God bless you guys, because, and women, men and women, because they really keep our country going. And in internet, we have international truck drivers over in Europe who listen to us, and truck drivers keep their countries going. They keep the flow of goods. They keep us alive. They supply the food. They supply everything. And I think a lot of times, you know, teachers get a lot of credit, which they deserve. Police officers get a lot of credit, which they deserve. But some of the unsung heroes of our society are truck drivers, because without them, we don't enjoy any of the things that we just take for granted.
Exactly. And actually, it was very educational for me to go on some of the trucker forums and read about like the level of regulation and the schedules. I mean, they're working, you know, they can only be on the road a certain number of hours, but they have, you know, they're expected to get from here to there in a tiny bit of time. And just, I mean, it seemed really impossible to me. Like, it's not just people who like to drive, getting behind the wheel of a truck and, you know, driving across the country to here or there. It's like, it is tons and tons of conflicting, you know, almost impossible regulations. Sounded like to me, but I can't even drive a riding lawnmower. So the thought of driving a semi-truck.
I was gonna ask you, did writing this book make you want to get behind the wheel of a big rig?
No, but one time, this is when I was younger. I dreamt that I drove a semi-truck, and that day when I got up, I mean, I was over 18, I had a driver's license. I thought if I tried it today, I think I could do it. Because I remembered how it felt and everything, but other than that, I'm terrified by the idea of it.
Maybe that was a premonition of this book.
something.
Yeah. Well, another thing that occurs to me, obviously, you've got truckers, nighttime hours, early morning hours. They're driving, and a lot of the interstates are through wooded areas and so forth. Any truckers out there have seen strange creatures, dare I say Bigfoot, anything like that?
Yes, we actually do have a Bigfoot story in the book. This was some truckers who were coming up from Texas to Colorado, and the people, they were helping somebody move and bringing something to a new house, and the people who were moving into the house had some trouble, so they weren't going to get there for a day. So the truckers, husband and wife team, had a little extra time. So they went up to, I believe it was Rabbit Ears Pass in Colorado, and were parking, you know, just enjoying the different scenery and watched the sunset. And they were parked in a spot where there was one other truck already there. And the fellow telling the story is, I think he drives truck as well, and his family has a trucking company, and but anyway, he said, so there was another truck there with its, I can't remember if it's called, is this the air conditioning? I'm sorry that I'm spacing this detail, but something that made it a little bit noisy that keeps the truck cool and air circulating. So he moved his truck a little farther away. Well, they watched the sunset, and then they got in their truck to go to sleep. The other truck left the area at about 2 a.m. and this trucker also heard somebody coming down the mountain because he heard the jakes. And so they were alone on the mountain. Woke up a little later, felt like the truck was, you know, moving. There was no wind or anything. And then this movement became more pronounced. It felt like somebody was literally shaking the truck. Okay, ooh. A truck. You'd have to be pretty strong to shake a truck.
Absolutely.
Just guessing. Okay. So, and I love the way this story is told. The storyteller, the guy from the dispatching company, says, so the husband gets up, pulls his pants on so he can go kick the ass of whoever is messing with them. And which is very right on. He wasn't afraid. He was going to go deal with it. Gets his mag light and shines it out the truck window to see, you know, who's out there. And he shines it right into a face. Now, looking into a truck window, I think that's around 7.5 feet up. This face is looking right into the window. He was so caught off guard, his wife behind him screamed. And then this thing, whatever it was, just turned and walked away. They watched it walk away. And he said, the story ends with, they do not talk to people about what they saw that night for fear of being called crazy. Because mm-hmm. they don't believe in Bigfoot either. But
right. Well, that's always interesting to me, whether it's cryptozoology, UFOs, ghosts, whatever it might be, when you have non-believers who run into something that makes them question their own non-belief.
Exactly. Exactly.
It also occurs to me, you know, just I've had jobs over time where I had to do nothing close to what truckers have to do, but just for business meetings and so forth, have to find myself racing across town. And often I wondered, you know, this could be a little bit dangerous because you drive enough, you know, you're going to have incidents, possible accidents. Things like, you know, for truckers, it's got to be incredibly hard not to get tired and fall mm-hmm. asleep at the wheel and so forth. And then people do crazy things and cut them off and think that cars can, think that a huge rig can react like a Toyota, Corolla can, which they can't. Lots of danger in the profession of trucking. Is anybody now, you told the story about the father who saved the person's life. But any other stories where you feel that that maybe somebody felt that they were saved from the jaws of death in an accident or something?
Yeah, actually there are a couple of stories, more than a couple like that in the book. Super cool. One of my one of the stories that came in early, and I absolutely love this story, Shirley Andreessen is the writer. She is a trucker from California. She's retired now. But she's such a great writer. I'm like, Shirley, keep writing. You should, you know, if you want to write stories, you should be writing stories. You're such a good storyteller. But she was talking about a trip that she took from California up to, a naval base, Whidbey Island. And I am sorry that I don't remember the exact location of Whidbey Island. It's on the northwestern coast. Mm-hmm. Let's see. So, okay, Washington State. So she is driving up there. It's before Christmas. She knows the route. She talks about, you know, the terrible coffee at Fat Harvey's. And that's what I love, like the old truck stops back before everything was corporate owned, and just, you know, very colorful details that make the stories cool. So she's driving up. She comes over this pass, and as she's coming up to the top of this, she sees, I think it was amber and blue lights at the top of the hill. It's nighttime. So she slows down, like, what's going on? Is there an accident? Is there ice or whatever? Well, she comes to the top of the hill and looks down at the bottom, and there's been a horrible accident. Cars all over the place. She said it was right around Christmas, so she could see like presents in the that window of cars that had, you know, turned sideways, and, you know, it was just a mess. Well, she, because of these lights, she had slowed down enough that she could sort of weave her way through. It was icy enough that she didn't want to try to stop because she was afraid she'd just slide down the hill and hit everybody. And she said as she was making it up the other side, the police arrived in ambulances, and so she didn't need to call the police. And then she, as she was driving away, she thought, well, now that's pretty weird, because what were those lights I saw if none of the emergency responders were there yet? Okay, so she got her her load up to this Air Force base. She said the guys were great. They all went out for a steak dinner. She had a really nice time visiting with them, and they were very appreciative that she had gotten this delivered 2 days early, which meant they got to go home 6 days early for Christmas.
Right.
So as she's driving back to California the next day, she has a flat tire, and then she has to get that fixed, and she's driving. Then we've got black ice, fog.
Ooh.
And black ice. And she said there's another driver on the road, and they decided to sort of ride together, keep each other company. And he was turning off for the night. He was going to pull over and sleep. She had to make it to a certain point in order to make it, you know, home by the right time. And mm-hmm. so he got on the CB, you know, after he had gone ahead, and said, I just went right to a stop sign. There was nobody there, thank God, you know, but it's really, really bad. She's like, okay. So she's driving along. Now she's alone, these bad conditions. All of a sudden, a black semi-truck comes whizzing right beside her. And she's like, who is this idiot? He's going to get us both killed. And she tries to call him on her CB radio to say, slow down. Well, he goes past her. Then he puts on his brakes, and he puts on his left blinker.
Yeah.
And she's like, what's going on? Okay. All of a sudden, she comes over the top of this, you know, hill, and there, halfway down the hill, is a... Well, she slowed down because of the black truck whizzing by her, like, what are you doing, crazy dude? And so she sees a semi-truck stopped in the middle of the hill, three-quarters of the way out in the lane that she's in. And so she had been slowing down because of this truck, and then she understood what the left blinker meant, get in the left lane. She did. She said she went past that stalled truck or broken truck so close that she said her stomach was in her mouth, and she stopped after she got past it, went out to with her flashlight to see if she had hit it. I mean, she didn't feel anything, but she couldn't believe that she didn't knock a mirror off or something. And she said, you know, she was just shaking, like she thought her number was up. Well, then mm-hmm. she gets back in her truck, couldn't drive yet because she was so nervous, and then realized, where did that other truck go? Where did mm-hmm. that black truck go? And where did it come from? She was out on a dark highway all by herself, and she never saw his lights as he approached her. She never saw him ahead of her. The black truck just came through, gave her the information she needed, and disappeared.
Kind of an angel truck.
Yeah.
Well, there are dozens and dozens of stories in this book. We're not going to be able to cover them all in this show. Obviously, that's why folks should pick up on the book. But maybe if you can leave us with one of your favorites, I'd be interested to see. It's like asking which one's your favorite child, but which story kind of like, wow, that was something else.
Oh, there are so many. There's the last story in the book. Was written by Terry Aldershoff. He is a retired trucker who contributed two stories, and one is a really chilling UFO story, and he wrote the introduction, which just sets the stage for the book perfectly. But the final story in the book is a story about a soldier. The book is divided into four sections: just plain weird, which is the weirdest of the weirdness, messages and assistance from the spirit world, mm-hmm. Legends and lore of the road, and then the last section is time slips, when people encounter, you know, vehicles or trains or people or, you know, people who, things that are out of their era and yet seem to be, you know, actual, alive, animated. It's not just like seeing a glimpse of the past. It's like some collision of the past and present has happened. And this is, I don't want to give away the whole story, but this story involves a soldier from the past, from the Vietnam War, and trucks.
Well, we'll have to get the book to find out. So, Annie, where can people find the book? I think it's pretty much everywhere, isn't it?
I think so, and it's available right now. So that means like your favorite bookstore or Amazon.com. But the book is available as a paperback, as an ebook, and as an audiobook, which I can't wait to hear because I have never had any of my books made into an audiobook.
Ooh.
And I am just very excited to see what this is going to sound like as an audiobook. So
I think that's going to be extremely cool. Just imagine being on a road trip and it's the nighttime and you're driving through the dark highways of America or Europe or wherever, or Canada, and you have on Annie Wyler's Trucker Ghost Stories. That would be chilling. That would be chilling. Annie, also tell us where your website is as well.
Okay, that's anniewilder.com. Keeping it really simple.
I like that. I like that. Well, Annie, thank you so much. I wish you the best of luck. I think you're going to have a huge hit with this. And again, thanks for all your help with my book. And it's always a pleasure. And I know this chapter is going to be a huge success for you. And I can't wait to hear about the next one.
Thank you so much, Jim. It is always a pleasure being on your show and talking with you, too.
Thank you, everybody, for listening, particularly our truckers out there, and thank you for making our society go. Stay safe, and if you are a trucker and you hear this show, hey, tell your trucker friends. There's some great paranormal content in Annie's book and also on our podcast. We thank you so much for tuning in. We'll catch you next time on the Paranormal Podcast. Bye-bye, everybody.
Now for the legal disclaimer. We do not accept money from publishers or content producers in exchange for interviews. However, as with most media outlets, in the majority of cases, we do receive complimentary copies of books and DVDs that we feature on our podcasts. Your purchases of books, DVDs, and other items via our Amazon.com links benefit Jim Harold and JimHarold.com and help us continue our programming. The sponsor messages you hear on the programs are paid endorsements, although we really do like them. For the full disclaimer, go to JimHarold.com, and thanks for listening.